Well, I wonder how good you are at giving excuses. You don't want to do something or you want to get out of something, and so you come up with an excuse. You may be good at it. You may be bad at it. You may have even tried it today to get out of having lunch with the mother-in-law. I don't know. But I did a bit of research on excuses via Mr. Google, and I uncovered lists of the worst excuses ever given for not going to work or not wanting to go on a date. Now, you might stop and think of an excuse that you've given in one of those situations, but as I looked at these lists, the problem was, even as lame excuses, they were, well, just that, lame. As I read the list, they were just pretty non-entities. They weren't even exciting or clever or good lame excuses. Not even as exciting as they had to stay home and look after the goldfish. But as we come to our parable today in Luke, the parable of the great banquet, we could have easily called it the parable of the lame excuse. Because there we see excuses for not wanting to attend the banquet. Well, before we turn to this familiar of parables, but one that teaches us much, let me pray. Our Father God, we do pray that you will help us to listen to your word, and that we might examine our own hearts and ask whether we will be with you at that banquet at the end of time. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we turn to the parable proper, let us just ask, what was the setting for this parable? Jesus was having a meal at a Pharisee's house, and he noticed that they were all jostling for position. There might be a bit of that going on today at Mother's Day lunches. You don't want to be stuck down one end of the table with deaf Uncle Fred. He continuously tells you his war stories, and you've heard them 1,000 times before. And because he's deaf, he speaks very loud, and you don't like the way he puts his hand on your knee, and you just don't want to be stuck there with old Uncle Fred. So you're going to make sure you're right up the other end of the table. Well, Jesus, in response to their jostling for position, told them a parable about a wedding feast and not taking a position of honour, but a lowly position. And then you'll be asked to move up. So you sit at the back and they'll say, no, you come and sit up on the top table here. And so, says Jesus in verse 11, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And Jesus then went on to say, when you give a dinner, do not invite your friends or your rich neighbours, but invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. If you do that, you will be blessed, and you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Well, all this talk of feasting and of the resurrection of the righteous causes one of the guests to reflect on the greatest banquet of all, the great feast that comes at the end of time. And so we read in verse 15 of chapter 14. Follow it with me if there are Bibles for visitors in the pews, for people that are new. Pull that out, and the page number is up there. So verse 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Such a feast had been promised in the Old Testament in places such as Isaiah 25:6, where we read, on this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. It had been promised, and God's people were looking forward to such a day. And so what lies behind this man's comment is the belief that it is the Pharisees, the religious people, who will be blessed at that table. And Jesus replies to the man's assertion by telling this parable, the parable of the great banquet, or the parable of the lame excuse, depending on how you want to name it. And as we look at the parable, I'll do so under 4 points. Firstly, a great invitation. A great invitation. The banquet, it needs to be said, was a very classy affair. In Matthew's account, it is a wedding feast. a huge wedding feast. It is not one that you would want to miss. This would be a great feast at Key Restaurant or Rock Pool or closer to home, Barawa Waters Inn, if you know those chef's hat restaurants. And this would not just have been your wedding feast of would you like chicken or beef, sir? No, this would have been what is known as a degustation menu, with course after course coming out with matching expensive wines, no cost bared, everything laid out. And so the point that needs to be gotten across is that this is not something that you would refuse lightly. If you're into your food, you would love to be there, and you would even put up with Uncle Fred to get this great meal. And the invitation for this great banquet had gone out far and wide. The man giving the banquet had invited many, many people. In today's terms, he would have put out the keep the date on Facebook, and then the invitation would have gone out and people would have put the tick, yes, they're coming, or replied in writing if you're of that particular age. The RSVPs had come back in the affirmative. And all that was needed was the reminder that the great feast was about to begin. That's how it happened. People would reply, and then when it was all ready, a servant would go out and say, now's the time, come. And so in verse 17, all was ready. So the host sends out his servant to tell the invitees, the ones who had said they were coming, all is ready. A great invitation to a great banquet. But secondly, a great refusal. To refuse to come at this juncture after they'd said they were coming was the height of rudeness. It would be like being a no-show after having said you were coming. Now remember, this is not just a no-show to any old party, as bad as that is. Now, from my observation, it seems that the culture in certain age demographics today is that your RSVP doesn't mean much. I might come, I might not. If I get a better offer, I'll do that, and I might forget about it. And yet, yes, I ticked it on Facebook, but doesn't. Who cares? But this is a very serious refusal. The refusal to attend a magnificent feast of great cost in time and money and commitment. And so do the excuses. Well, they have to do with either family or financial concerns. The bottom line is that something else is ultimately more important than attending the celebration. Jesus is making the point that something else is more important than deciding for him and sharing in the hope of salvation at the end of time. Such a refusal is huge. The excuses are lame and insulting given the nature of the banquet and their previous RSVP in the affirmative. One guy wants to go and see his field that he has bought. Now, he might have a boring life, but why he needs to go and see it when he has already bought it is not clear. Perhaps he just wants to drool over it and think of all that he is going to do with it and potentially the money that is going to earn him. The second guy wants to go and see his livestock. 5 yoke of oxen was a lot more than the average person had. They would have had a couple of yoke. And so this implies that he had a lot of land as well. He could go and check out his paddock and his cows at any time, but he wanted to do it now and miss out on that great banquet. The third excuse is short and sharp. He has just got married, and so he cannot attend. Well, perhaps he has vivid memories of his own wedding banquet and couldn't bear to go through another one. Who knows? Some of us have had weddings like that. But thirdly, after the great refusal, there is an even greater invitation. With all the refusals, a change of plans is required, and it must be done quick as the banquet is ready. The banquet is not postponed or cancelled. New guests are simply found. Stephen was an executive with the Macquarie Bank. He wore several row suits and had a regular table at a Macquarie Street restaurant where he went every Thursday lunchtime with workmates. He lived in Pymble, and his daughter attended PLC Pymble. She was the head of the swim squad and the captain of the debating team. Stephen and his wife had a beach house to which he would like to escape at weekends. And Stephen was full of pride when his only daughter graduated from law at Sydney Uni and snatched a position with one of Sydney's leading law firms. One day, his daughter's boyfriend sought him out to ask for a hand in marriage. He had attended Knox and also had recently graduated in law. He had grown up in Tarramurra and was a fine rugby player. Stephen had no hesitation in saying yes to his request. In fact, he was delighted. Soon Stephen and his wife went to work to plan the wedding. They were to be married at the Botanical Gardens, and they booked out the Glass Brasserie restaurant at the top of the Hilton Hotel for the reception. They also booked the best suite in the hotel for his daughter and groom for the wedding night. But the day before the wedding, late in the evening, he got a phone call from his distressed daughter. She had discovered that her fiancé had been having a rather intimate relationship with one of her friends, and so the wedding was called off. Well, after comforting his daughter, the decision had to be made. What about the wedding feast? All the food had been ordered, the decorations were ready to go, the band had been paid for. Well, Stephen and his friends drove into the city and scoured Sydney Square next to the cathedral, Hyde Park and Central Railway, and invited all the homeless that they could find to that banquet at the Glass Brasserie. And on the day they started to trickle in, you could smell them, their clothes were shabby, they looked out of place, but one, then two, and then a few more. After a while, they sat down, and although feeling uneasy, they partook of a magnificent banquet. Many of the poor in Sydney were dining on Sydney's finest. Stephen is a fictitious character, but such an occurrence did happen in the United States a few years back. It was written up in the newspapers of whatever city it was, and I can't remember, one of their big cities. And the homeless came and had a magnificent feast because of the cancellation of a socialite wedding. And that's what happened here. Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame, we read in verse 21. But there was still room, verse 22. And so we read in verse 23, then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. The appeal goes out urging them to attend the banquet. They do not know the host, and so they need to be encouraged to get along. And what this illustrates is God's generosity in seeking people for salvation. The fact that the invitation goes out far and wide outside of the confines of Israel is a pointer to the Gentile mission where the good news of Jesus goes out in ever-increasing concentric circles through this first volume of Luke and in his second book, the book of Acts. The blessings of the kingdom will not be withdrawn. They will just be offered to others. Some have seen an allusion to Isaiah 49:6 in this parable where we read, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I also will make you a light for the Gentiles, that ye may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Yes, the invitation goes out far and wide, which brings us to fourthly an even greater rejection. Follow with me, verse 24. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Those originally invited to the feast will not be present. The Jewish leadership missed an opportunity, the opportunity to sit at the table of God's blessing, even though it would have seemed that they were at the head of the line. They had the clothes to wear to the wedding. They had the money to be the kinds of people that would be there. But they rejected the opportunity, and so God rejected them. They had all the religious credentials, but they were not there at the end of time. Friends, who will be at that great end time banquet? It will not be as we might imagine. There will be many missing who we might have thought would be there, and there will be many there who we thought would miss out. It will be in many ways like the poor and homeless of Sydney feasting sumptuously at a five-star establishment. Friends, this is a great picture of opportunity lost. Arthur Miller, the famous American playwright who wrote plays such as The Crucible and Death of a Salesman and once was married to Marilyn Monroe, tells the story in his autobiography of how his father was offered a substantial share of 20th Century Fox for the last piece of money that the owners needed to establish that movie studio. His dad turned them down. He said he was suspicious of movie makers. Well, the owners went on to make millions, and he found himself during the Depression not even being able to scrape together the price of a ticket to a 20th Century Fox movie, let alone owning a chunk of the whole studio. An opportunity lost. A huge opportunity lost. But that is nothing compared to this. Missing out on that great banquet at the end of time. Yes, a great picture of opportunity lost, but also a great picture of grace shown. Putting on a banquet for the poor and homeless is a great gesture, but the man who did it in the US did it because, well, he paid all the money and the wedding was off. He had to do something with it, and he had plenty of money. He could afford to do it. But here in the invitation of Jesus is grace upon grace. An invitation to dine lavishly at the table with him forever. So, friends, a simple question this morning. Have you accepted God's invitation to that great feast? Or are you still in the business of making excuses? If you are not there at the end of time, it is because you have refused to accept the invitation, not because no invitation was forthcoming. There are two clear points here to grasp. Firstly, no person can enter the kingdom of God without his invitation. And the invitation goes out to all, to the highways, to the byways, to the poor, to the homeless, to everyone. And secondly, no person can remain outside it but by his own deliberate choice. Friends, we cannot save ourselves, but we can damn ourselves. We live in what is known as the last days. The banquet has been prepared. People are being called to come. There is no time for delay or to let family or financial concerns get in the way. If you haven't said yes to the greatest invitation you will ever receive, then what is stopping you? What cow or field is getting in your way? Stop coming up with lame excuses. Preoccupations with the material affairs of life can be a most serious trap, as can the worship of family that can rule out any costly commitment. And we can get it out of kilter on a day such as this, can't we? Friends, examine yourselves and ask, what is more important to you? What gets a look in? Your career, your family, or the Lord Jesus? To be at that great banquet, you must give up your small ambitions and turn your life over to Jesus. Stop going your way with you running your life and start going God's way with Jesus running your life. And if you have responded in the affirmative and you will be at that great banquet, well, praise God. But if that is you, don't you want others to be there with you? Think about those that you're going to have Mother's Day lunch with today. How many of them are you sure are going to be at that much greater feast? If there will be there those that you know haven't yet accepted the invitation, then what can you do? You can pray for them. You can speak to them. Speak to them today about today's message, about an even greater luncheon than what you're at today. It may be your mum that needs to hear. It may be your kids. It may be a friend or someone who has lost their mum or someone who would love to be a mum and can't. We must long for all to be there at that great banquet. Friends, the invitation still stands, but the time will come when the lights will be turned out, the ovens turned off, the waiters go home, the restaurant will close, and the doors will shut. The day of opportunity will not continue forever. God is making himself available even to those that many reject. And so may we be those who do so also. May we go seeking for the lost, even in the most surprising of places. And so it's wonderful that we can start an ESL ministry, that we can bring teenagers here to hear God's news with the HSC lockdown. But may we continue to cast the net wider and wider in our desire to see many a table with us at that great banquet. Make sure you're there and work towards others being there. Well, to conclude, let's just take a moment for self-reflection to ask, have you accepted the invitation? Or are you still offering excuses? And secondly, to ponder, who would you long to be there with you? And what can you do to go out and bring them in? Let's just take a moment. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who longs to seek and to save the lost. We thank you that you went in search of us and that you continue to search for those that would long to be with you at the end of time into all of eternity. May we not be so foolish as to refuse your invitation. May we trust you and turn away from our rebellion. And may we be those who have a heart to see many, many others drawn in as well. May you use us to bring in those who are lost. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.